Hey, you. Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time with me and taking me along with you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're driving to work, maybe you're driving home from work or working out, cleaning the house, but thank you for bringing me along. I have a special treat for you today because sometimes talking about jealousy consistently or hearing about it gets a little heavy, and I know sometimes you need a break from it. So I wanted to bring you another topic that you face and that you should be thinking about, and that's skincare. I think it's super important. I did a whole series in January, if you remember, on physical health, and this is just a part of that too. So I hope you enjoy the episode. I've got Dr. Mary Alice Mina coming up. Welcome back to Top Self. I have a special guest with me today. I'm excited to have this conversation with her. I have with me Dr. Mary Alice Mina. She is a Harvard-trained dermatologist, a dermatologic surgeon, wife, mom, and all-around skin enthusiast. And we're going to talk about that, but also a little bit more serious subject. So welcome to Top Self.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm thrilled to be on your podcast. I love what you're putting out, and I'm super excited for our discussion today.
You can't see who I call Dr. Mary Alice, but you can't see how fabulous her skin looks. So I love it when that's what somebody does for a profession, and then they live it real life and look at real life, and you absolutely do. So gorgeous.
Thank you for that. And I joke that it's a job requirement when you're a dermatologist.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine there's a little bit of pressure there to make sure that you're looking like the poster board for that. And you're doing a fantastic job of it.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
But speaking of that, I did want to talk about kind of having such a high standard, especially as women. And as we age, there is this sort of expectation that we still have to look good, that we still have to keep our looks up, all of these things that there is the expectation, but a lot of it we put on ourselves. And I just turned 50 in October, and I will never forget the day I was putting on my makeup in the morning, getting ready. And I was like, oh, I guess yesterday was the last day that my eyelids are going to stay up by themselves. So can we just talk in general first a little bit about kind of the skin aging process and just a very quick overview of what happens?
Well, happy belated birthday. You look amazing. And I just want to let everyone know who's listening or watching that no one's immune to this. I'm not immune to these feelings, just like you aren't. And I see it in my friends. I'm in my mid-40s and it's real. It's happening. And I think in our 20s, we are just like doing our own thing. We can't really see beyond ourselves. And in the 30s, you might be starting a family or have little ones. And again, your career is getting started and everything. And at least for me, it was in my 40s where I was like, wait a minute. Okay, I see these things that I've been learning about and counseling my patients. I'm actually now seeing it in myself. So it is real. It happens. And I see a lot of insecurity starting to come out with myself, my friends, families, my patients asking me like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on? What do I need to be doing? And so I love this topic. I love talking about it. And it happens to all of us, right? I see it even a little bit in my husband, maybe not as much in men, but certainly for women and my friends, it's happening. It's real. And so basically what happens with age is a lot of things, right? It depends where you are and which stage of life you're in, but we're talking about kind of midlife. And so that's a perimenopause, menopause, and then postmenopausal state. And that occurs really typically, perimenopause is probably your 40s, menopause on average is about 51. And then postmenopause is really the rest of your life afterwards, which for a lot of women and with longer lifespans, that could be a huge portion of your life. And what people mostly start to notice, I would say, in their late 30s and 40s is that they are losing collagen. And we actually start losing collagen even in our 20s. but accelerated, especially around menopause. And when we lose that collagen, we lose elastin, we lose estrogen production in our bodies, our skin gets really dry, we start noticing fine lines that become a little more than fine, and we lose that elasticity in our skin, where the skin may stretch, but it bounces back to its shape. And because we're also losing collagen and we're getting bone resorption, we don't have the strong sort of scaffolding to hold up our eyelid skin or our cheeks or our neck. And so that's when we notice that things seem to be falling and you're not going crazy. It really is happening. So that's in a nutshell, things that are going on with your skin with age.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because I feel like everything becomes more difficult. Like even putting on mascara, every time I put on mascara now, it's okay. Now it's going on my eyelid. I never had that problem before because they weren't in the way before. So it is even just small things like that that just become irritating. But the reason we're talking about this and why I wanted to have you, multiple reasons why I wanted to have you on the show, but for the listener of this podcast who is already feeling very insecure in relationships, they feel jealous in their relationships, they are constantly comparing themselves to other people. When they hit this stage in life, I think you started to touch on it. It's where you go, wait a second, you've been busy doing all these things before in your 20s. You definitely weren't worried about it. Then you were having your kids and getting married and building your life. And then all of a sudden, oh gosh, wait a second. Now I've got all this stuff going on. I don't know that I've been taking care of myself 100% the way that I should have because I wasn't thinking about it. And now they start to feel even worse about themselves and still comparing themselves to that 20-year-old who has their face looks great, their skin looks great. They haven't put on the extra 10 to 15 pounds as we start to do in midlife. So what would you say to that person listening?
Gosh, I would say I empathize with you. I feel you. I've been there. I am there. I experience all of those things too. I have a medical assistant in my office who's in his early 20s. And sometimes I just laugh because I feel like I am still really close in age to him. And then he'll remind me I could be his mom. And I'm like, wow, it's so true though, but it's hard when how we feel on the inside doesn't necessarily match what we see or how we look on the outside. And I think as women, a lot of pressure is put on us to look a certain way. And maybe you've always been that really attractive bombshell woman, and now you're noticing your skin is sagging a little bit, or you're not looking as attractive as you thought you used to be. And that can be hard because as women, we value our looks so much, or we feel like that's so important to be successful in who we are. And so when that starts to change, it can be really deflating morally. And you look around, you compare yourself to other people, and you look at Instagram and things with filters, and you think that everyone looks that way, and it's not true. And so I really empathize with people. I feel it too. We all do, right? When we look back at a picture and think, oh man, like, where did the time go? What just happened? So I love that we're talking about this now because I don't want people to dread midlife. There's so many amazing things that happen in midlife and where you are now in your 40s, 50s, 60s, beyond. Life shouldn't just stop just because we maybe look a little bit different. But there also are things that we can do to really maximize this time of our life. And I'm all about prevention and maintenance. And so the sooner you can start, the better. The sooner you can start thinking about these things. But I also find that, again, as women, and I'm also speaking from personal experience, we put ourselves last. And that's something that I'm really trying to prioritize right now in my mid-40s is, you know what, I need to take care of myself to be able to be the best mom, the best wife, the best dermatologist, the best human I can be. And if I'm not taking care of myself, how can I take care of everyone else? So I'm all about prevention and maintenance. And I think that will really serve you well down the road.
Well, I want to get into some of the prevention and maintenance with you in just a second, but you touched on something that I think is really important. As women, I can remember being in my 20s, 30s, just going to the gas station and at the time feeling really irritated with like catcalling and just feeling like, oh, I'm being stared at. Just being female, I think that happens. And it felt like something like I didn't want. But then when it starts, when you start to feel like, wait a second, that's not happening quite so much anymore. And it isn't that you had this desire for it to happen, but I think it's like you take note that it's not happening maybe quite as much as it did when you were in your 20s. And you start to wonder like, oh, so it makes you feel like those things that I'm thinking about myself, it's showing up. So I think that's where that comes in. And as you said, the problem with that is us valuing our looks so much because I think we're just so used to it as females. Again, then when it's not there, you notice it. Have fear and lack of confidence taken over your life? Is your constant anxiety keeping you distracted, holding you back from a successful career, a healthy relationship free of jealousy, or living the life you know you were meant to have? If you're ready to relax your mind, achieve change, and be a healthier, more present you, then book your free 30-minute discovery call today to see how I can help. I let my feelings of low self-worth get in the way for far too long, but I discovered a path to a calmer mind, learned how to be confident in my relationship, allowing me to feel present again in my own life. If you're looking to take your relationship or your career to the next level, or you just want to accelerate your journey to your top self, the link to book your free discovery call is in the show notes. Now back to the show.
Yeah, you're so true that unfortunately we put so much emphasis on that external validation. And then when it stops, it's whoa. I used to get people used to tell me all the time when I was seeing them as their doctor, they would all the time, every day, you're so young, you're too young to be a doctor. And the funny thing is, over the last few years, I don't hear that anymore.
So, yeah, it's same just situation. Yeah, same situation. You're like, wait a second, no one's telling me that anymore. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. So funny. I do want to talk about preventative and maintenance because we don't want to feel so bad about ourselves all the time. If there are things that we can do, one, to start a little bit earlier and start putting yourself first a little bit earlier, I think that's the number one thing. But I'm sure you're going to share with us some things that we can do earlier, but then that maintenance part of it. So can we hit on maybe like three of the stages of life? So what's the number one thing that someone 20s to 30s could do, 30s to 40s, and then 50 plus? Can we start with 20s to 30s? If you could say one thing that you should be doing, what is it?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I love this. This is great. So I also just did a recording with someone in her 30s, and she was talking about all the things that she recommends for 30-year-olds. And I was thinking like, yes, if more people knew this in their 30s. So let's say 20s to 30s, right? You are an adult now, you're on your own. In your 20s, it seems like you can really get away with sleeping hardly ever, over drinking, excessive drinking, you can eat whatever. And it really doesn't seem to catch up to you. But I would say if you are listening and you're in your 20s, to start thinking about exercise, start thinking about eating healthily, eating whole foods, watching how much you drink, how much you sleep. Those are all great habits to start in your 20s and your 30s, certainly by your 30s. I would say do not smoke. Do not start smoking. That is such an important, powerful thing for keeping your body healthy and your skin healthy. Don't start smoking. Don't vape. Don't do e-cigarettes. All of that has nicotine and it's really harmful for your body and also your skin. It's going to age you faster. And to sun protect. And this is something that if I feel like I need to tattoo it on my forehead, but there is the sun is so damaging to our skin. And if you can start early and not get sunburned, don't go to tanning beds, wear sunscreen every day, it is going to make such a powerful difference down the road. It's so much harder to reverse that when it's already there. So if you can start doing that early, you'll be well on your way to success in your 50s and beyond. So that would be for your 20s and 30-year-olds.
Yeah, I won't talk about the days when I was growing up, when I was young, probably 13 to 16. We were still putting the baby oil on and climbing to the roof of our house to lay out. That's what you did then. So looking back, that just seems crazy. Of course, I would never do that now, but there are still the extremes that people are doing, the tanning beds, not putting sunscreen on as part of your daily routine. And me in my 20s, my skincare routine consisted of putting the same lotion that I just put on my legs, on my face. That's what it was. Like, that's how in depth I got.
Yeah. I don't even know if I wash my face every night, to be honest.
Yeah, that too.
And people think that I've been to tanning beds. I'm not proud of it. I even dabbled with smoking. These are things I feel like it's natural people try things out, but if you can really just avoid them. And I do think maybe the times are different now with social media. I am finding that people younger and younger are getting into skincare, and I almost think maybe too young, but that's a whole different topic. So it'll be interesting to see when the people who are now in their 20s, the Gen Zers, what sort of their skincare habits are like as they get older. But yeah, certainly if you can start thinking about these things in your 20s and 30s, it'll pay off. Once you hit I would say towards your later 30s and certainly into your 40s, that's when you're going to start noticing lines on your face that don't disappear when you stop moving. You may notice a little bit of some jowling. You may notice some like crepiness around your eyes. You may notice that your skin is not as taut. Maybe the upper eyelids are hanging down a little bit more. And so that's when you start seeing the signs of that collagen loss and aging. And depending on how well you've sun protected or taken care of your body also determines how accelerated this is. But at this stage in your life, I really recommend, of course, you're still wearing your sunscreen every day. Make sure you are washing your face every day, especially at night. Take the makeup off, the oil, the dirt from the day. That's really super important. I also think using a vitamin A cream at night is such a simple but impactful part of anyone's skincare routine. So this is something like a retinol or a retinoid. If you just do that in sunscreen, you are going to be doing great. And that's pretty much what I do for my skincare routine. People are very surprised that mine is as simplistic as it is. If you also want to get fancy, you can use a vitamin C serum in the morning and a moisturizer. And that's kind of it. So that's your basic routine in your, I would say, 30s and 40s. The nice thing is you can really continue this on into your 50s, 60s, 70s. 80s, et cetera. You don't really have to necessarily change a lot of stuff. But for the ladies or listeners who are 50 plus, who are maybe menopause or postmenopausal, you're going to want to probably bump up your moisturizer. And that's because your skin is going to get drier, especially as you lose that estrogen. And your skin cannot hold on to water as well as it used to. So I'm even finding now, I always had very oily skin, but now I am having to use a moisturizer, and I didn't really have to do that before. So I find that using a thick moisturizer is important for more mature ladies for their skin.
Okay, so a couple things. Thank you so much for letting us know the top things that we can be doing. I had a question on the retinol and the retinoids. I think people are pretty familiar with them. But I myself have struggled with using them because I think I didn't start out using them properly. So I just went full force and then they really burned my skin. I had that where it was like really dry and almost just that burn feeling. I don't want people to go, oh, I tried it and it's not working. Because I do think there's a way that we should start out with those. Can you explain how we move into those and how we should start using them at first?
Yeah, that's a great topic. And I find a lot of people struggle with this too. The best thing is start them in your 20s when you're maybe still getting some acne and then just continue it on and then you'll be a pro. But I don't use my retinol every night because it is too drying. So the trick is to start low and to start slow and to just know, even if you're doing it twice a week, three times a week, you're still getting a benefit. So you can try over-the-counter products to start. They're going to be weaker, not quite as strong. Or you could use a prescription strength, but use a very low strength to start. And I always tell people just a tiny little pea, literally a pea on your fingertip is all you need for your whole face. I also use a little bit on my neck. And I now mix mine with a moisturizer. So I use the two together. If you tend to have oily skin, you can use it by itself and you don't have an issue with that. And that's how I did it up until my 40s. But now I do just mix it with a moisturizer. People sometimes call that the sandwich technique where you do your moisturizer, then the retinol, then more moisturizer, and that helps lock it in. Don't apply it on wet skin because you're going to get increased absorption. So this is one product we recommend not putting on damp skin. So wait till it's really dry. Do it right before you go to bed. And then I like to seal in, use a lot of moisturizer. Sometimes I'll even use Vaseline or Aquaphor, something what the kids call slugging on my skin as well if I tend to get really dry in one area. So again, just a small amount, start low, start slow. Don't give up. I tell people it's like weight loss. You really have to do it for weeks and months to really see the benefit, but it's phenomenal. It is tricky. And I think people, they want to see the results. They want to see them quickly and they use way too much or they do it way too often or way too strong. And then they burn their skin. It's irritated. It's dry and they get frustrated and they quit. Try not to do that.
Yeah. I went through several different kinds for, you know, over a long period of time before I realized, oh, I might be using this wrong. I might be going too hard on this because, yeah, you go, oh, I noticed this. I want to get rid of it and I want to get rid of it quick. But I want to go back to the slugging thing because I have not heard of it. What is that?
Okay. I guess I'm spending too much time on TikTok. So slugging is basically using a thick ointment. So a lot of times it'll be a product like Vaseline, which is petrolatum, or Aquaphor, which is petrolatum and water. Now other companies make ointments, but it's using a very thick ointment type product and lightly rubbing it on your skin to really help lock in the moisture. And I love this for areas like your lips, your cuticles. You can do it. You can do it on your heels, your elbows, areas that tend to get really dry or we forget about. You can also do it a little bit around your eyes. I will just dab a little bit on areas. I tend to get dry around the corners of my mouth. So if I've been using my retinoid frequently, I might do that for a night or two just to lock in that moisture. It's something that as dermatologists, we've been doing for a long time, but now it just has a fun name and that's what slugging is.
Thank you for the explanation. I'm going to have to look into it a little bit more now. So thank you for doing that. One of the things I did want to mention, you said washing your face being really important. And as basic as that seems, I think it's also a way to, we've been talking about, you've got to make yourself a priority. And I know that people are going, oh my, are you kidding? By the time that I work all day and I come home and I straighten up and I feed the kids and I do their homework and I get them in bed, like I'm just zonked out. So I just wanted to make a point of, okay, but if there's nothing else, the brush the teeth, the wash the face, and just thinking of it away as like washing off that day, if you can think of it that way, so you at least get that part in there, the very basics of just getting your face washed.
Yeah. Washing your face. I get it. There are nights where I'm like, oh, it's going to get my hair wet. I don't really want to do it. But we don't, or I don't think people debate whether they should brush their teeth, right? You might debate whether you're going to floss, but most people, I think, brush their teeth every night. So just make it a habit, especially if you're wearing makeup, right? You've got to get the makeup off. You got to wash. You don't need to double cleanse. You don't need to use expensive products. I've been using the Dove Cleansing Bar for probably 25 years. It can be really simple and it can take 30 seconds. So at a minimum, wash your face. And then for people who are midlife and beyond, put a moisturizer on because your skin is going to be dry. So if you can at least just do that, then that's fine.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was just at my doctor's appointment and we were talking about just everything that you experience in midlife. And she was saying, reminding me that in the past, women only spent maybe a decade, right? At that, in this age, or maybe a little bit longer. Now it's a third of our lives where we're either perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. So now we have a really extended time. And I do think that maybe adds to this feeling more that we have about ourselves because we're in it longer.
Yeah, you're totally right. We are going to spend a huge portion of our lives in this sort of perimenopause, menopause, and then postmenopausal state. And there's been such little research looking into this. And for so many decades, people would just tell women, hey, it's just what happens. It's aging, right? But now I think people are saying, wait a minute, that's not really acceptable. I'm not going to spend the next 30, 40 years of my life suffering or uncomfortable or not feeling my best. And that's why I think there's so much interest in longevity and prevention and maintenance. And how do we keep our bodies in top shape for longer? Because yeah, most of us aren't going to die in our 50s or 60s. A lot of us are probably going to live to our 80s, 90s, 100s. My kids are probably going to live beyond that, right? If we're lucky. So how do we embrace this new stage? You can either dread it and hate it, or I would say try to make the most of it. Try to see the beauty in it. And there are things we can do to help combat some of the less desirable effects of aging. But I would just caution people to constantly fight it or always trying to reverse it. You're going to be really disappointed because I say Mother Nature always wins, right? It is going to happen. Aging is going to happen. There are predictable things we know are going to happen, but what can we do to make the most of it or to minimize the negative side effects that we don't want, maximize our health and how we feel? And you are going to look different, right? You aren't going to look like what you did when you were 20s, but there's also a lot of positive and beauty in that. I don't know if we necessarily want to go back to being 20, right? We just want to look and feel the best we can.
Yes. Such a good point too. So I think it really is also one, putting yourself first and really putting some focus on yourself to make sure that you're in a good spot, you're doing things, you're caring for yourself, but then also changing your mindset in the way you think about your value now. Because if we put that value on ourselves before in our looks and things like that, we have certainly gained so much more in the past couple of decades, to where thinking of what is my value now in the world? How is it different?
Yeah. And I think you can also, you can have a little of both, right? I think sometimes we feel like we're either all into the cosmetic aesthetic game and anti-aging, or we do nothing, right? But you can do both. But I think if you have to make sure it aligns with your values, and you have to really have that sort of internal confidence and self-respect for yourself, because all the cosmetic procedures in the world aren't going to give you that. And you're going to just be chasing and chasing the next thing, and you're never going to get the results you want. So it really has to start from within. And then we can do some extra things and maintenance along the way to help you look and feel your best.
Great. One last thing, anything really new and exciting in the dermatology world that you have your eye on or that you're excited about that's becoming something that people may be able to do?
Yeah, so lots of stuff out there. I would just caution your listeners and viewers that there's so much being marketed to us in the cosmetic and beauty realm. if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I don't mean to be so negative and pessimistic, but if it does sound too good to be true, it's promising to do things that seem impossible, you're probably being sold maybe some snake oil there. So that being said, there are really great things out there, little tweaks that you can do. So I think having a dermatologist on board who can really help you, not just with cosmetics, but with your overall skin health is a great place to start. I love sort of biostimulants where you stimulate your own collagen as you're aging so that you never really notice that large depletion that can happen. And there's a ton of research now going into exosomes, which are basically the hope is that they can help our cells regenerate by carrying this important information from stem cells, which are the cells that really can turn into anything in our body, right? But harnessing that to help prevent some of the aging processes and to help with longevity. So that's something that's definitely getting a lot of interest and research. Still a long way to go. I'm not, at least at this time, recommending people go out and buy exosome products, but we are seeing a lot of research into that. And I think that's something that's going to be coming down the pike and interesting to see where that goes. But yeah, I would also just caution people. There's lots of stuff we can do. Like you were talking about your upper eyelids. That is a very easy fix for you, Shannon, if you want that skin removed. And if it's getting in your way and you can get those eyelids back again. So there are little tweaks, little things that can be done without you looking fake, artificial. You can still look like yourself. So again, just making sure you're seeing someone like a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon who really knows what they're talking about and skilled and is not just going to sell you on some stuff that maybe isn't what you really need.
Yeah. I'm on my way to Georgia right now, Dr. Mina, to see you. I'm headed your way. Thank you so much for all the valuable information today. I do want to say you have your own podcast. Can you tell us what that is and where people could find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Shannon, this has been a lot of fun. I love talking about this. And I find that it's a topic that so many people have so many questions on. And so you're absolutely right. I did start a podcast. It's called The Skin Real. And I just dive into all these questions that I get from my patients, my friends, my family, asking me just for real factual skincare advice, because it's really hard to know who to trust. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of people trying to sell you things and products. And I find it's overwhelming and people don't even know where to begin and what to do and where to start. So I know it's sometimes hard to actually get in to see a dermatologist. There are not that many of us out there. So I created this podcast as a way for people to get valuable skin education without necessarily having to make an appointment in person themselves. So hopefully your listeners will get value from that if they're interested in learning more about their skin and health and aging and all that fun stuff. It's The Skin Real, and it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of those. And then if your listeners are interested in learning just some basics on how to create healthy skin habits, I have a PDF that I can send to them, and they can just go to the URL, theskinreal.com/habits for that.
Yeah, I know people are going to be running to get that PDF. I am going to go grab it myself. I love your podcast. I've listened to so many episodes. It's so good. So go subscribe to the Skin Real podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Shannon.